Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are Stubby Forum and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then. Welcome back to Entrepreneurship Happens. Thank you so much for joining us as we took a short, brief hiatus. Today's episode will be Desiree McCoy, the event planning extraordinaire. She actually lets us know how she started on her journey from helping clients with their corporate contracts in the hospitality industry to creating her own contracts and starting event planning beyond family and friends and all that came with that. I hope you learned something from it as we did. See ya.
Keep me on my toes, okay?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, do us a huge favor and introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what you do, who you are and what you do.
All right. I am Desiree McCoy, creative events organizer. So I took a creative spin on CEO of Events by MDM Associates. I am an event planner located in the DC metro area. I do travel. And when I say event planner, I mean anything from dropping off materials to you for you to set it up and get it done yourself, or for my team to come in and set it up for you. We do complete event management, meaning we will find your venue, vendors, source all of your materials for your event. We can do your printing for corporate events, whatever it is that you need events related, my team can handle.
Yes, and she does gorgeous work. Gorgeous work. Love it.
Thank you.
Love it. You're welcome. You're welcome. What you got, Kashla?
So why did you become an entrepreneur?
So my journey kind of started by force, almost, I'll say. So originally, my career started in hospitality, working in hotels, being your on-site contact for events. So just in case your listeners aren't familiar, when you book an event at a hotel, there's a staff member that works there that does the contract, the negotiating. They do everything in the best interest of the hotel. They help clients make sure the event is good for them, but ultimately your job as a hotel staff member is to make sure that the hotel makes money and makes the most profit. Yeah. What ended up happening is I became friendly with quite a few of my clients who booked me a lot, or, you know, we just became, you know, cool. And they would go to other hotels and have questions about terms in the contracts, or things that the hotels weren't allowing them to do, just different ways that other hotels operated. And they would call me and I would, you know, help, because that's what friends do. Like, you call me and I'm, you know, you don't understand terms in a contract, or you don't understand why you can't bring in your own food, why you can't take food off property after your meeting, things like that. And they'd call me and ask me for advice and I would give it to them. And then one day, one of my clients was like, you know, we've been on the phone for 2 hours. You know, you're not at work, right? It's a Saturday. You should pay. I mean, you should charge me for this because you're helping me outside of your job. You should be a contractor. And I was like, no, I'm just your friend. And then she was like, but you've helped me with 6 different contracts. You should be getting paid. So then I started charging. And then it turned into, well, do you do events outside of the hotels? Like, if I wanted you to come to my house, and if I needed a vendor, and if I needed this, then I was like, I mean, well, damn, I do. I mean, I never have, but I do that for my own, you know, for my friends and my family on my own. We have our own events. And when I do an event at home, it's not a typical home event, because that's just not my nature. I'm a creative by nature. So it was like, well, damn, yeah, I do. And then because I was still working on property, I had to be really careful about conflicts of interest and making sure that I didn't get burned and lose my job because I'm helping somebody with a birthday party on a Sunday. So I started the company, and my husband and I's name, so MDM is for Maurice and Desiree McCoy. So it's Maurice and Desiree McCoy and Associates. That's all of the team members that fall underneath of our auspices. Because I needed to put it in someone else's name as the forefront. So all of the materials and things came from that person, but it was always me running the show behind the scenes. My husband didn't mind at all. He didn't care at all, because he ultimately wanted me to be happy and be successful. So that's kind of how my journey got started. And then from there, it has just turned into something else, to where now I only work for myself. I don't work for anybody else. If I don't want to get up on Mondays and do anything, then I turn my out of office on and I don't get up on Mondays and do anything. So it's really been a rewarding experience. And I'm so glad that that client told me that I needed to charge them for giving them free game.
I love it. I love it. So when exactly did you make that transition to becoming full time? How did you actually say, okay, this is it, this is when I'm going all in?
So I want to say it was, I think it was 2015 or 16, when I kind of cut the ties with corporate. And it was a combination of the dynamics at my previous employer was changing. Things that we weren't asked to do before, we were being asked to do, and it was just changing time constraints and things like that. Like, I worked from home, so that wasn't an issue. It was just the amount of meetings that were changing. And it was like, yeah, I work from home, but I don't want to miss dinner 3 days a week because we have a meeting, because that's the time that works for the company because they're on the West Coast. Right. So it was a lot of that. And it was, you know, I had kind of put in my mind, I'm going to start not necessarily reinvesting in my company in terms of inventory and things like that, but reinvesting in my company in terms of putting some money to the side so that when I'm ready to make this leap, I'm not starting from scratch trying to get clients in to make money to make ends meet. So I kind of use that reinvestment as, let me use this as my salary, making sure that I have money coming in the same that I had before, so that when I'm no longer tied to a corporate organization, I still have a salary coming in to make sure that my family can still live the way we want to live, because ultimately I want to live better than I did when I was under somebody else.
So what do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
One, the flexibility, the freedom. When you work in hospitality under corporations, there's so many things that you can't do. And so many things that you can't do simply because they don't. Not because necessarily it's against regulations in terms of the FDA or regulations in terms of what buildings are allowed to do, but just certain organizations just don't do certain things. And I'm able to flex and bend and say, like in a hotel, you can't use anything but black and white tablecloths because they just don't, right? They just don't. I can come in and bring in other tablecloths. I can come in and make it so much more because I have the availability and the freedom to do that. I can take my client's vision from one thing into something else because I'm able to pivot. I think in all honesty, the pivot is my favorite part of being an entrepreneur. The fact that I can take a no and turn it into something else. Well, no, we don't want this. Well, you don't, but what about this? Mm-hmm. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Well, let's talk about this and keep the conversation going. Whereas when you're working under someone else and the answer is no, because it's just no, there is not really much room for a pivot.
Right. And I think that's your creative bone as well, is that when you're working for someone else and you're creative, when they have those hard and fast rules, it stifles your creativity. Yeah. You know what I'm
saying?
And
then you're stuck because you're like, well, what do I do? Because I know what I can do. I just physically can't do it. Yep.
Right. Exactly. So I get that. And one thing that you had mentioned, especially with corporations and they're on the West Coast, my mom really would be upset she got off at 5, worked from home, got off at 5. Her boss would have a meeting at 5:30. Like, excuse me. Yep. That's not my schedule.
Yep.
So, yeah, I totally get that. Yep. Well, what do you find most challenging about being an entrepreneur?
For me, I think it is like over the course of the last, and I'm just going to go 10 years before I fully went into business for myself. And since I've been completely in business for myself, is learning that my clients have changed in terms of clients that I used to be able to take and work with. I've had to either sever ties with them or re-educate them that we can no longer do the same things the same way that we did 10 years ago. Everything has changed. Also, and that's a hard thing. You know, when you have somebody that you've kind of grandfathered in for so long, and then you realize I am paying you for me to do your business. And that's a hard conversation to first realize that you have to have, and then two, have with your client, because sometimes you have to break up, right? And then the other thing is learning that I also want my client base to change. I don't always want to do the same types of events for the same types of people all the time, because I have so many ideas and so many things. Everybody can't do everything. My clients that are solely focused on their kids' birthday parties could care less about my champagne wall. They absolutely don't care about it. But, and then some of my clients that care about my champagne wall don't care that I do balloons, because that's not what is interesting to them. So learning that I have to not only market to, I kind of have to market to everybody, depending on where I am. In the summer, I really want to focus on kids' parties, because that's it. In the fall and winter months, I need to be focused more on corporate events and events that involve a little more champagne wall and a little more cocktail, because though that's what people are looking for in the winter and the spring.
Right. I understand that. It's so funny when you said that. It's like, I was like, was she in my conversation this morning? Because I just had that conversation with my mom about grandfathering in clients. I had actually extended myself to a previous client because she had an event and she was paying out so much money. And so I said, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll split your payment. Got the deposit. Now I'm looking for the balance. Sent out balance reminders. Nothing. I can see when you open it, but nothing. So I had to reach out, and it's like, oh, what balance? And I'm just like, you know what? Okay, we not doing it. Like, that is and my mother and I were talking about how you run into some businesses where it doesn't matter how long of a client you've been, they do not make any, you know, exceptions or anything. And you can see why.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do, and it be that one person and that takes advantage of it. And this is somebody that's never had a problem paying me on time or paying me in full. And it's like the one time after all these years that I make a concession, it's like you get damnesia. Not amnesia, damnesia.
But damnesia. Y'all did that. I owe you that. I do. Yeah, come on.
Wow. Yep. Right. Now asking me to send an email. You probably got 5 already in your inbox.
Yep.
You know, so it's just like, so now so then, it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to make that hard and fast where going forward, either I'm not going to work with that person at all, or I'm just not going to extend myself. There are some, I did let go of a client this year because all I needed him to do was sign a contract, and he kept giving me excuses about his bill. I said, we ain't even at the bill part. I just need you to sign a contract. You know, and I think he was holding off on signing the contract because then the bill would come due. But I would work, you know, I work with folks, you know, And so that wasn't an issue. So I already dismissed him and stuff, but you have to do that. And once again, as someone I've been working with for years, but I shouldn't have to chase you down. You know what I'm saying? You're holding up the process, and I can't do that, you know.
And they And my thing with that is they will not allow you that same grace. No. You want me to give you grace. You want me to show you mercy and show you favor and allow you to string me along. But the minute you hit pay, they're like, okay, where's all my stuff? Okay, right. First, you didn't read. My contract said within 72 hours of payment, you would receive something. It doesn't right. matter that it took you 72 hours to pay me. I had right. 72 hours from when you did, not from when I asked you to. Yeah, right. I do. And it's hard because you don't want to, you kind of walk that fine line of, am I going to tell you why we are where we are, or are we just are where we are?
Right. And that's, you got to get to that part of entrepreneurship where you are not afraid to fire clients. It feels bad, but you have to, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's just so funny that you brought that up because I'm like, I'm just going through that now where it's just like, yeah, this is going to have to change.
Yep.
Okay. So you just mentioned about, that's funny that you mentioned about the whole client base tangent and everything like that. So like how has your entrepreneurial growth changed and impacted your family and friends now?
So it used to be that I was the party planner for everybody. You know, mm-hmm. if we had something, and when I say we, I mean family, they'd be like, oh, call Des. You know, she has linen and she has this and she has that. And I did, right? And I did. And I would be doing parties for my family and either turn down events for other people or work them in so that I could do both. But my family stuff was always top tier because that's my family. And then yep. I realized yep. my family would have something for something else and they would hire somebody else. So like, say we had a family gathering for, let's say, Christmas. It, you know, I'd be in there, it'd be all Christmas, red, green, silver, you name it. I've got reindeer, snowflakes, the works, all my inventory, I'm putting it out. And then your mom's birthday is next month and you have a party for your mom and I didn't do the decor.
Mm.
And I know you didn't get it for free. So even if you got it for an extreme discount, you could have given me that.
Right.
So right. then I was like, now I'm not available anymore. I don't do family events, or I send you my link. Here's my calendar. You can put some time on there and we can go through and I can send you a proposal. And I always put the caveat at the bottom. This proposal does not include any discounts that will be provided once you have selected services. But I don't discount the prices on the services in the proposal that I send. I don't do any of that because why?
Right.
I'll decide at the end how much of a discount, if I'm going to give you a discount, that I'm going to give. But I no longer work for free. And that, I think, has been the biggest burn of my journey, is that a lot of my family and friends are like, well, I don't reach out to you because you charge too much. Do I? Or did you not even give me the opportunity to give you a discount? Did you just assume that my services were free?
Right. Some people do that. They use the excuse of you charge too much as an excuse. It's like, well, you haven't even asked me. We haven't even discussed it. Maybe I have an option that fits your budget, but you haven't even approached me. You know what yep. I'm saying? So yeah, I totally understand that. So with your family and friends, some people now, you have a different dynamic with them now, right?
They might refer me to somebody else, but they mm-hmm. don't come to me for themselves. And then some don't refer at all. Like I have some family that I see share 999 different small businesses. They don't get to that 1,000 because I ain't the last one they share. And I look and I'm like, you have never supported. And I'm not entitled to that, but at the same right. time, you pay attention to that. I could see you share a new restaurant that is opening in 3 weeks, but you share their right. posts. But right. I share 300 posts a day, and you will like them all, but you haven't shared a one yet. And I just said, oh, okay. But you know, in at least two of those instances, the two people who don't share, I would not want them as clients. And I don't think I would want their circle as clients because I know how they operate.
Yes, yes. I was going to ask you that. I was going to say that, that sometimes the ones that don't use us, it's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
It's a blessing. They less of a headache. Yes, 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 yes. Well, what do you know now that you wish you knew then when you first started?
What I think the biggest learning moment for me is that everybody is not my client. When I first started doing side events in terms of my corporate job, anybody that needed any type of thing, I was willing to accept. I was burning myself and my husband, who, although I said he did not mind being my partner, when I have to set up events for 50 people and I got to do chair covers, table covers, move tables, my husband was right there with me. And he works a full-time job. Fridays, Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, we blowing up balloons, we putting centerpieces together, we doing the works, and then Saturday, we setting it up, we breaking it down. And I mean, we would have sometimes 4 events a weekend on a Saturday, which means you got to prep all week to keep everything separated, but to have everything together. And we literally running up and down the beltway doing stuff. And now I have the pick of the litter. I do what I want to, when I want to, because every event is not for me.
I understand that. I understand that.
Man, I have a network of frienders that if it is not the event for me, either their price point isn't right or the scheduling just isn't right. I have a network of frienders, and that's what I call them. And I'm talking about ladies and gentlemen that I can call and say, hey, I got a client for you. They are fully qualified. I can give you everything you need to know about them. You just got to tell me if you want it. If you want it, I will send them to you, send your contract, and you're done. If you don't, I move right on to the next, because if I can't do it and someone else can, one, the client will remember that I found somebody for them from A to Z. Everything was done. And that friender will remember that I gave them a booking, whether I could take it or not. They remember that, and we work together so well that sometimes there are events when I have inventory that's not mine that I didn't even pay for, because my frienders are like, I'll give you that because you gave me this and you did that. And it just works. Everything is not for everyone. And if I can't do it and someone else can, why would I not help the client or help my friend?
Right, right, right. I feel that. I feel that. And I was like that too. With my graphics, there was a point where I was taking on every job, any job, because when you go, especially when you go full time, it's like you got to eat, you got to pay bills, you got, you know. And I had to tell somebody that it's like they were still working a full time job, and I'm like, you don't understand. I got to, you know, I got stuff that I got to do. You know, when I send an invoice, you need to pay. Because that's going to pay, you know, for other things. And so I found myself taking any kind of job and every kind of job, and that's what contributed to my burnout, you know. Desiree is one of the clients that stuck with me through that burnout period, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely feel you on that.
So Desiree, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you being an entrepreneur?
The worst, well, I mean, it's kind of twofold. I've had the clients from hell, meaning, and I'll give 2 examples. I've had the client from hell that I knew before I issued the contract that they were going to be a problem. And yet I had faith that I could unchallenge them and do it. And I did my part and it was beautiful, but they got on my second and last nerve.
All three.
I had to talk to my therapist about how much they were getting on my nerves. And my therapist was like, but you told me this a month ago and you had issued a contract. So you did this to yourself.
And then I've had
clients that absolutely did not understand your contract. So my contracts are quite detailed. You select what it is that I am providing for you. I will give you 500 things and you can narrow it down to 2, or you can keep it at 500.
Wow.
But you select it. You decide what works and doesn't work. So I'll give this small example. So I had a client that wanted us to just handle the decor, meaning we come in and we put all the decorations where they need to go. Well, we got there and there were no tables and chairs and there was no event space set up. And so I'm calling like, hey, where are your folks? Oh, well, I thought you were going to do. No, ma'am. Which was well, you could have thought, but you purposely did not select that because that was $500 more than what you chose.
Wow.
And today, if you need that right now, it's going to be even more. And I'm going to need that right now because I have to bring people in right now.
Right.
To do that.
Right.
Or you can gather your people. But remember, I only have allotted this amount of time to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I will work with you as much as I can, but we have to be on the same page. Oh, and she was hot. I mean, upset. And when her crew came to help, they were equally upset, but upset from her narrative that we weren't doing. So, you know, I always have my contract on hand, electronically and in hand. So it's nicely on the one table that I set up for you so that your team will know how it needs to be set up based on what we discussed. So it's there. And they're like, oh, so she didn't pick this. I didn't say that to you, but if that's what you read in that document, sure. So then the energy shifted. So her crew was a little more humble. And then they were like, well, can you help? And do you think, and should we do? And I can help you now because you understand that it's not going to work well if we're not on the same page. Right. I've also had a venue that absolutely did not do what they were contracted through the client. So then I have to kind of go back into my hospitality arsenal and say, let me let you know that you can absolutely stick to your guns and not do what you were contracted to, but my client is going to get paid. They're going to have a crappy event. They're going to blackball you and put you all over the internet and everything. But then they're going to sue because all of the terms in your contract that get you an out, none of them get you an out of not doing what you were contracted to do.
Right.
And then it became, oh, they had the best event ever because they got so much more stuff. Well, can we add? You can add whatever you want, but you better stick to that contract first and then add whatever you want. And my client never, the thing that I try to do for my clients is make sure that they never see the problems. They just see the end result. Now, someone later may tell them all the stuff that went on, but like I would never say your hotel person was not getting ready to give you what you look for. If we have a debrief and they ask me how everything went, I would say I would personally never work with that hotel again. And that's what I would say. If they ask me why, I would say they don't tend to stick to the letter of their contracts. And you can talk to your hotel person in more detail because that's not my job. You know, you never know when I might need to go back to that hotel and they'll remember that they didn't get any bad feedback from the client from me. So I try not to burn bridges, but I will let you know that your bridge has a fire under it. And you can keep going this way if you want to.
Wow.
She won't burn it, but she'll set the matches near it.
Look, it's a fire right there.
It's a smoke. I don't know where the smoke coming from, but yeah, I'll show you.
That is too funny. Well, what's the best thing that's happened to you so far in your journey?
So I think the best thing for me is, especially during the pandemic, because there was so much downtime and just differences in the way events were done, my kids got to see the different side of me doing events and experiencing it with me. Because of course I started in hospitality before my son was even born. So he got to see me working on weekends and doing different things and what have you. But during the pandemic, I added so many different layers to my business, like the yard cards, parties in a box, where we will basically build your entire party for 50 people, put it in a box. You can either come pick it up or we can ship it to you. You can either keep the materials or you return the materials. So having my kids be a part of that process and then having them be with me when we're going to set up events, where it's a drop and go, teaching my kids how to do balloons, just getting them to see all the other aspects and why it's beneficial to work for yourself and not work for somebody else. Like during the pandemic, when my daughter was in school virtually and she didn't have to get up early in the morning, we didn't have to get up early in the morning. Mommy didn't have to get up and do work. You want to stay up all night and binge watch a show because you're going to get up at 11 and do school? We'll binge watch a show and get up at 11 and do school. So the fact that there was flexibility and the time to do the things, if we wanted to get up and go to the beach, we could. I didn't have to worry about, I got to do this report or I have to do this. If I have my phone or there's some place that has Wi-Fi, we can go.
It's really
that simple. The fact that I am not obligated or tied to anyone else. I have mastered the calendar to where my calendar says and my email reply says you will not get a response outside of 24 hours. So don't look for an immediate response. If you get one, be blessed, but don't expect one because I'm not obligated to do that. And it's because I don't want my clients to get into the habit of thinking that as soon as they send something, I'm gonna send it back. I might even type your reply, but I'm gonna schedule it to send in 24 hours because I don't want you to get used to having me right underneath your finger, because I don't just work for you. I work for as many clients as I wanna take at a time.
Right. And I do that now with even my inbox, my Facebook inbox. I used to answer them, but it's like, I don't care if you saw me post 10 minutes ago. You're a client.
I even tell my friends that, and I can tell when they think I'm going to respond. Like, I could post something on my business page and they'll inbox me, and then another post and they'll inbox me. I already know what you're doing, but one, I schedule a lot of my posts. So that ain't me. That is the system. I told it three Wednesdays ago to post today. Don't think you figured me out, because I'm not on that algorithm. My algorithm is constantly changing.
Wow. I know where she got that from.
Yes. Yes.
That's that rules of engagement.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
So not being too specific. Well, no, you're not. No, be specific. What's the craziest client you've ever had?
So it goes back to my client that I probably shouldn't have signed. She was a referral from someone who I have worked with for 16 years. So I know when this particular friend, because now we're friends, we originally started out where she was a vendor that I hired for something, but we have become friends over the past 16 years. So I know when she sends somebody to me that it is a vetted and it is a good lead, right? So I'm talking to this person and, you know, everything is moving forward. We're talking and I'm keeping in communications with my friend, letting her know kind of where we are with things, making sure that we're all on the same page, because she's hiring her for one aspect and looking to hire me for another aspect. And then we're talking and we're going. And this one client on the Friday before Memorial Day took a tone with me that had me decide whether I was going to have bad sales service and hang up or whether I was going to address it, right? And I was like, nah, I'm going to put my big girl pants on. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to address this. And I was like, hey, so I need you to understand that we will no longer be able to communicate if you're going to have this tone with me. Originally, I told you that this needed to be handled via email because there are so many nuances that are changing that I really would prefer to have it in writing so that nothing gets missed. Right. But what you're not going to do is take that tone with me. And if that's the only tone you're going to be able to take, we're going to have to end this call right now. And then, I didn't take a tone with you. And that's not how I meant, how you meant and what was received, two totally different things. But understand that I am putting you on notice.
Right.
At the same time, I'm texting my friend like, your client has lost her full ass mind.
Wow.
Full mind. And let me tell you why. And so I, you know, gave a brief overview. And then after a while, we went through the thing. Her tone totally changed. She humbled herself a whole lot. And then we ended up getting to the point where the contract was signed or what have you. And then I talked to my, you know, my friend, and I'm telling her, I'm like, yeah, see, what we're not going to do is this, because this is not how it's going to work. So I'm putting some other things into the contract in terms of how we're moving forward. Like, we got all your terms, you've selected everything you want, but I'm putting certain caveats in this contract to protect me. So that's how we're going to go. Went through the whole thing. She and my friend ended up having a difference of tone as well at one point. So it became a thing. Like, then it became a, I'm going to talk to everybody in a certain way. Day of the event, she ended up thinking that certain things that she didn't pay for that I was going to do because it had to get done, right? Some of the stuff had to get done or her event was not going to be able to happen. Her team that she brought in to do some of the things didn't have layout, floor plan, how she wanted the stuff, anything. I have all that because we went over all of that. And so they're like, well, I don't know what to do. And I'm watching them and I'm sitting there talking to my team like, so we're not going to do anything. We're just going to wait for a minute. So I waited for about 10 minutes and I was like, hey, this is actually how it's supposed to look. I've actually made 4 copies because I have a copy for each person on my team, but I can give you 2 copies. My team will keep 2, but this is what you're supposed to be doing. She ended up coming to the venue to help her people because she didn't have enough people, and she automatically assumed that I was just going to jump in. You didn't pay me for that.
Right.
And then the parts that my friend was doing, I offered to stay to help her with it. And then she was like, I'm actually not going to take you up on that, because if you're here, she's going to have a problem with you being here and not doing so. I said, you know what? You're right. I don't even want to help her any further. So my team and I left and came back for breakout. Now, when we came back to breakdown, she was inebriated, but she was so happy and hugged me and said how great everything was. I mean, it was a whole thing, how she wished I had stayed so she could have introduced me to her guests. And I was like, I have on a company uniform. You did not want to introduce me to your guests at your wedding. You didn't want that. I didn't want that. I appreciate that, but no, we're not going to do that. The next morning, 7:00 in the morning, I got an email with all the things that were wrong. But I knew it was coming. So I was ready. So by 7:40, her five paragraph email had turned into like a 20 paragraph response because I went through every single thing. Well, if you think that it wasn't ready on time, let me explain to you why. Not only did you not have your team there on time, your team didn't know what they were going to do. We had to get extra copies of the diagram that I prepared for my team. My team had to pivot to assist. We assisted your caterer because your team was still setting up tables. You moved tables 3 times. You then added drummers and this and this and that. So everything had to shift. This is da-da-da-da. And at the end, thank you, I wasn't aware of all of these things. That was the end of the conversation with me. Her response back was, thank you, I wasn't aware of all of these things that came up. Oh, okay. But again, this is the same client that I knew before I sent her the contract that she was going to be a pain in my side. I haven't received any pictures from her ceremony. I don't care. I don't want, and it was beautiful. I mean, beautiful. I don't want none. I don't even want to see your day no more.
That's too funny. But ain't it crazy how referrals go left sometimes?
Yeah.
It's like, and it's, especially when it's from somebody that you've worked with for a long time, it's like, excuse me.
Yep.
That's crazy.
But the good thing is, it wasn't that she just went crazy on me. She went crazy on my friend as well. So my friend, I mean, we're friends, but if I refer you to somebody and they tell me all this crazy stuff, I'm gonna be like, first, I've never experienced that or heard of anyone experiencing that with her. Mm-hmm. But it could be true, right? But then if you turn around and you turn crazy on me, then I'm going to be like, you know what? It was never what you told me. This was always another way. Because the only factor that is the same is you. So the crazy is you. It is not anybody on the other side.
Right. That's crazy. Well, tell us, what motivates you?
One, I don't want to go back to work for nobody else. I only want to be able to do what I want to do every single day. If I want to go to Starbucks 6 times a day and sit in there and laugh and talk to the baristas and not look at my phone, I want to be able to do that. I don't want to be held to a quota that makes millions for somebody else and puts pennies into my pocket.
Right.
I want to work to put millions in my pocket and to continue to put that into my community and to my team and continue to build people to be able to do what it is that they want to do and not what somebody else is telling them to do.
I love that. I love that.
Yep.
So Desiree, what is currently on your playlist right now that you got floating?
So me, I'm a 90s girl. I have a sweatshirt that I bought. I went to a candle making class. And the one thing that I bought home from there was a sweatshirt that said 90s R&B is my theme song. And so that's pretty much what I listen to. I turn on Pandora and I listen to New Edition Radio. I listen to I'll Be Sure Radio. Okay. And I listen to Mary J. Radio. That's me.
I love that. I love that.
Some, like a lot of this new music is so... Let's say. So I grew up on Prince and Michael Jackson. I should never have been singing any Prince songs, but I could sing them all because one, I could not connect the dots and figure out what I was singing about.
Right.
Okay. Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Commodore, all of those songs all talked about the same stuff. We just wasn't smart enough to figure it out. And they were smart enough to make it hard for us to figure out. This music now, I do not want to even hear what my kids are listening to because that means I know what they know. And I am afraid that at your age, you know what you know, but you don't want to keep listening to New Edition forever. You know what I mean? They listen to that stuff. And I hear, like, I'll hear, like, let's say Chris Brown. My son, Chris Brown came out when my son was little. So that's kind of who he, you know, grew up on. So when he first came out, I was like, okay, that's great. Now I'm like, you can't sing that because I don't want to know that you know what that is and that you're singing what that is and no.
We put them to sleep now.
And I'm just like, I'll hear the like radio version and I'm like, okay, it's bad, but it's not the worst. And then my kids would be like, let me have you listen to this, mom, and then they'll play the real version. And I'm like, I feel like my ears are gonna catch fire. I'm like, I'm not old enough for none of this.
Like somebody told me the old song "Stairway to Heaven" is actually a sexual song, and I was like, everybody's like, what? That's how sneaky the music was back then. But
you know, that was the whole creative part about it, though. They left mystery, they left romance, you know.
Right, but there's no creativity now.
But now it's like, give it to me.
and there's no creative. There's just it's laid out A, B, and C, and you like, I guess next comes D, because
that's right. We ain't got time to wait.
All right, that's crazy. Well, what
girl? That song sure is.
Wait a minute. I just googled it, and it's talking about sex the whole way.
Yes. Yeah. Look, things you learn.
Yes.
Hey, it's kind of like the same thing when you heard Downtown for the first time.
Yep.
But SWV, like, what in the world?
Right, we thought it was about downtown shopping. We didn't know
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what makes entrepreneur successful? And at this point in time, do you consider yourself successful?
So I really think that depends on the person, because all entrepreneurs don't want to work for themselves full time. You know, mm-hmm. they may want to be a part-time entrepreneur, which is fine. You know, I'm sure that a lot of us have started at that point, and that may be 100% what their calling is. So I think in terms of that, what makes an entrepreneur successful is really dependent on their meaning for success and what success looks like for them. For me, I absolutely am successful because one, I control my time. I use my talents and my treasures in a way that's beneficial to me. And I get to say yes or no whenever I want to whatever it is that I want to. I'm trying to keep myself and put myself in a place where I can continue this, building out my team so that I'm not necessarily doing as much of the hard labor and the hard work because I'm getting older and I don't want to do it. But building a team and bringing people on that want to continue to do this. And at some point, if they want to move out from under the auspices of MDM Associates and have their own, then they become a friender who I still bring in to continue to contribute to the events that I right. oversee and I manage. Yep.
Right. I like that. I like that.
So Desiree, on a final note, like what is one or piece of advice that you would give a new entrepreneur getting into the game, the entrepreneurial game?
The first thing that I would do is tell them to take a long, hard look at their time and their time commitment. Because it is a lot of work working for yourself, even if you work for yourself part-time. Because that means that when you're not on somebody's clock, you got to be on your own. Which means mm-hmm. your time spent sleeping, dreaming, drinking, smoking, funning, whatever extra things you're doing, you have to dedicate to your own hustle. You have to be dedicated. So time management and your dedication. And it's okay to know that you're not going to do it every day. Every day that I have set aside, I'm supposed to do my social media management on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, I don't want to sit in front of my computer for 4 hours to plan out content for the next 4 months. I have it. I just don't want to sit and do it. Or I start it and then I click on something or I say, oh, let me look at this or, oh, I forgot about this picture and let me go look at that. And then I forget and I don't want to be on the computer no more. Understanding that every day is a different day. Sometimes there are 5 different days in one day. You can have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Monday because you go through all of that shit at the same time on some days. So just understanding what your commitment really should be and what you want your commitment to be and what you're actually able to commit. Like I probably could have been at a totally different place in my business, further than where I am now, if I had taken certain steps sooner than what I did. Mm-hmm. Everything mm-hmm. happens in the time that it's supposed to, but looking back, if I had known certain things that I know now, mm-hmm. I could have been in a whole different place.
Right. But you gotta give yourself grace too for you are where you are right now.
Yep.
I love it. Well, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
All right. Facebook and Instagram, I am MDM Associates. So if you type that in either all together or just the words, you'll find me. I also use my personal pages. So Desiree, Desiree McCoy, McCoy. Phone number, easiest way to reach me. You can text me or call me. But if you call me and I'm tied up, I will respond with a text. So please respond back because sometimes I'm doing balloons. I got balloons in my office right now. So sometimes I'm just not able to readily respond. And my number is 240-390-6361.
Love it. And we're currently working on a new website. I'm still figuring out some layout things and everything. But yes, she will have her new website up soon. So that's, I'm happy about that, excited about that. So thank you. Thank you. Well, it has been a pleasure. And thank you for taking us on your journey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to trap you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers in compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Well, we hope you took a lot of lessons and notes from our guest, Desiree, and follow her on all her social media channels. Join us next week when we talk with Eliza Spivey, who actually talks about being a retired military and military spouse, and how she ventured into helping other military spouses in starting their own businesses, and how that kicked off her entrepreneurial journey. See you next time. Bye.